You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, who is board certified in internal medicine, pulmonary medicine with advanced training in anti-aging, Dr. Larry Emder. Hi, Dr. Emder.
Hey, how you doing? Great to be on the show.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you're just super excited and full of life after your great holiday now that you're just
Yeah,
back.
We went to New NYC, the Big Apple.
I know. Yeah. I'm very jealous about that. How was it? How was the weather, first of all? Because I know the weather here in San Diego has just gotten a little dreary, for lack of a better word.
For the fall, you know, winter, it was amazing. I mean, 35 lows at night, but like 45, 50 during the day.
Nice.
So I have a top coat that I got, you know, like 30 years ago in Cleveland that I was able to break out of the closet and nice. Wear. So we had a great time, you know, doing the Big Apple scene. Mm-hmm. Went shopping. You know, I'm usually not a shopper, but
with that said, I think a couple of the episodes we've been talking about some beautiful shoes that you've gotten. And did you get another pair? Or
no. What happened is I was in the Prada store in Vegas, which is like the biggest, supposedly by footage, Prada mm-hmm. store in the U.S., and they didn't have the shoes, and I found a Prada store here in Fashion Valley.
Mm-hmm.
While I was there, they said, well, you got to look at belts, and mm-hmm. So I found a belt that I like, but they make these handmade small quantities. They didn't have the belt in my size. So I figure, hey, we're in New York, we're in Soho, we're walking around, there's a Prada store.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in like, you know, I'm an expert now on Prada products. And
yeah, it looks like it.
And we go in there and ta-da, I said, I need this belt in size 90. And
oh my God, that's a really nice belt.
You got to feel the leather on this.
That is a really nice. Is it and it's dual sided.
Look at this.
Gray and
now it's blue, and I wear like a lot of blue.
Wow, that's a really sharp belt. I don't even want to know how much it costs.
Yeah, so you know, even the tax was expensive, but
I believe that.
You know,
have you and as far as belts are concerned, I just want to ask, have you, with all these funky diets that you've got, I think you have been gluten-free, vegan, dairy-free, all that kind of stuff. Has your belt size stayed the same?
It has, but you know, my weight is up 5 pounds and I'm kind of freaking out.
Really?
But yeah, so I'm sure that's only temporary.
Yeah, but what a man. So you admit that
on
the air.
But it was you know, it's probably water weight. It just popped up 3 pounds. So, you know, there is a little bit of guilt when, you know, I've never really had Prada until, you know, I don't know, 5 years ago when I bought one pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading one fashionista. And she said, now you should have one or two items in your closet that you just love. And, mm-hmm. you know, don't worry about the price. So go out and enjoy. So I have like three items. I got this Prada belt.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this Prada shoes, which, uh-huh. by the way, I got 10 days ago. I haven't taken it out of the bag yet. I
mean, even the bag
the
looks
bag expensive. Is just, yeah, please make sure I don't leave it here at the stadium, mm-hmm. At the show. Yeah. But, and I got a DNYK t-shirt for like $50 like 5 years ago, which I wear all the time.
What's the brand?
The DNK.
Oh, Donna Karan.
Donna Karan. So those are my three items that I'm splurging on. But besides that, New York, amazing. I mean, we did museums, the Museum of Modern Art.
Okay.
And since we were shopping in Soho, they have a Museum of Modern Art shop there where you can buy kind of neat gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought the gifts. And
stationery and
table. Oh, they actually had a very ultra-modern cookware.
Oh,
and,
no kidding.
You know, you just neat little stocking stuffers. But because we shopped there, they gave us free tickets to go into the Museum of Modern Art.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm now on Instagram, hashtag mm-hmm. Dr. Larry Emder. And if you go there, you'll be able to see pictures of me standing with all these sculptures in a sculpture garden.
Interesting.
And then we went to the Jewish Museum in New York City, and they had a Marc Chagall exhibit, which was over the top cool.
Wow.
And let's see, I'm a vegetarian, and we found a vegetarian Korean restaurant. So
wow, you were extremely
Yeah,
busy.
So it was way cool.
That sounds awesome. I'm very jealous.
So tell me about your boring. I mean, your interesting life.
Yeah. So kind. Stop. Yeah, no, not a whole lot going on. Except I'm going to San Francisco.
Yeah, in a raining storm, rainstorm.
Yeah, your raincoat. San Francisco is not, the weather over there is better than it is here.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's not raining. So I'm kind of excited about that. And just to explore, it's such great food over there. The wineries, you know, up in the Napa. I've got some friends up there, so we're just kind of heading up there to catch up. But it's probably not going to be as exciting as your New York trip, though I will make it exciting when we come back. I'm just going to tell you how amazing everything
is. So we really only travel so we have something to talk about in our 15-minute segment. I didn't really want to go to New York. And Kendra doesn't really want to go to San Francisco.
Yeah, but, no, absolutely.
We got to talk about something for 15 minutes here.
Mm-hmm. My plane flight is not as long as yours, though. So I think last time we were talking about how to prevent catching the flu on the plane, with it being flu season. But I've only got, I think my flight's like an hour, so it's not that big of a deal, right?
That's nothing. I think it was on the flight for like 5 to 6, 7 hours between waiting in the airports and things. Mm-hmm. So the flu is here, though. Dr. Butera, who's been on our show before, told me that the first 20 cases have been reported in San Diego County.
Oh, really? So only 20?
Well, that's how it starts. You know, it starts 20, 40, 100, 100,000, away we go.
And is this at Alvarado Hospital?
No, 20 in the county.
Okay.
So if you haven't gotten your flu shot, you know, make sure you go to your CVS's of the world and your Walmart's of the world and your Rite Aid's of the world and, you know, get your flu shot for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've done that. I've done that. So it's good. Hey, speaking of past guests that we've had on, we had Dr. Hansen on not too long ago, didn't we?
We did.
An orthopedic surgeon.
Orthopedic surgeon, and he has a new study on the stem cell research. And I was in his office yesterday for an evaluation for my stem cells because I'm 65. I blew my knee
Looking
out.
Looking good, though.
Thank you.
You wouldn't even know.
I blew out my knee when I was about 16. So
that is a long time.
A bad knee. Yeah, so they told me that basically I should get my knee. When I blew my knee out in 1964, they said, you know, just get it replaced when you're 55. But I'm 65, I'm still going, I'm still skiing.
I was
going
to say, does that mean that you can't run or anything? But
yeah, I can run, but I wear a brace when I run. But you know, that's not one of my favorite things to do. That's why I'm like fly fishing.
So you're just hurting your wrists?
That's another surgeon mm-hmm. and another story. Mm-hmm. But so I was in his office, amazing operation, a phenomenal physician. Mm-hmm. What they determined was that I probably need some injections in my knee first to see if they can settle down the inflammation. So
okay,
I was going to.
Right now, you said it's, what is it? Bone on bone.
Yeah. So, I mean, he looked at my knee. He says, basically, I don't really understand how you can even walk. You know, you're bone on bone on your right knee. And then we went through the range of motion on my knee, and it's actually really good. But I work at it. I do a lot of rehab, and I'm always, you know, building up my quadriceps muscle.
That's what helps. As I've got the bad knee thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So. You know, the physical rehab works tremendously. And he said that there's a treatment where they can withdraw fluid from your knee, which I didn't realize I had. Hmm. And they can inject steroids and something called hyaluronic acid, which is a lubricant to the knee. So I had needles in both my knees yesterday.
Oh, gee.
And pretty much pain-free, and they aspirated about 50 ml of fluid and injected some steroids, some lidocaine, and some hyaluronic acid, and I'm feeling better.
Wow, lidocaine, does that just numb everything?
You want to numb it up, absolutely. And I think...
Does that last? Because doesn't lidocaine only last a little while?
Well, that's just for the needle. But what really helps, number two, is the steroids they inject, and number three, the lubricant they put in. Now, about 70% of people get amazing response, 30% nothing. So I'm hoping I'm in the 70%.
Okay, and then the goal would be, because they didn't do the stem cell thing yet.
No,
right?
And then what they said is I'll get like 3 to 5 treatments. And then if I don't respond, you know, then they would probably offer the stem cells.
Got it. Okay. So
and then if the stem cells don't work, you ready for this? Total knee replacement.
Oh,
But I told Dr. Hansen that I'm a skier, and he says, "Well, we got this." He said, "Well, they don't want you skiing on a total knee replacement, but there are some crazy people out there, i.e., myself, that would do that." So he has a knee that will rotate, extend, and rotate, which he puts in for skiers.
Wow!
Yeah, so I think I found my orthopedic surgeon.
Nice. Yeah, he always got. He's amazing. I mean, I'm in East County all the time, and we actually see a lot of his patients at Villa Las Palmas. So, he's
and
great.
Remember, he's the surgeon that did the Larry Bird, basketball player, and who had an amazing response. So,
small who is now biking,
biking, and
hundreds of miles up the coast of California.
So, you know, God forbid, if I need my knee replaced, I found my surgeon. He's got a classy operation.
That's comforting.
And then last night I got an email from him to fill out for his satisfaction. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, my office is just.
I was going to say, you should take a note from that. You should be doing that for your patients.
Yeah, I really, I mean, I can take a lot of notes.
Yeah.
So we have an amazing guest this week.
Yeah, today's show is going to be amazing. We're talking about adult ADHD.
ADHD. And I actually, there was an article in the Union Tribune Health. And this is all old stuff, like October 29th.
Oh, gee.
And it's about ADHD treatments. And I don't have time to do the whole article, but he pointed out, and this is, just trying to see who the author is. I guess it's the co-director of the ADHD Center for Success in San Diego, Lori Rappaport. And she pointed out that 9.5% of children in the United States are currently diagnosed with ADHD. And this was according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And we think that this is a disease of children, but 4.4% of adults between age 18 and 44 experience symptoms of ADHD, according to Harvard NIMH National Comorbidity Survey replication.
Oh, that's a lot.
So that's kind of the lead in to our show, and we'll be back in the next segment with Dr. Woody, who will give us the inside scoop.
Absolutely.
On
stay
ADHD.
Right with us. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsor.
When Joe was in his last days, I was frightened of not having the right help at the right moment. So I set out to find a hospice I could call at any time, day or night. Only VITAS provided telecare, the 24-hour access we needed.
Mom's illness was overwhelming toward the end, and I wanted a hospice that had everything and everyone we needed. We discovered only VITAS employs more physicians who specialize in hospice care than anyone nationally. That made Mom and us feel better.
When Carol was dying, I promised she could stay at home and had the very best care. I did my research. Only VITAS had the experience to take care of the love of my life.
Call VITAS Innovative Hospice Care toll-free at 877-647-1124 for a free hospice evaluation. That's 877-647-1124. Or visit VITAS.com for more information.
Transition is always difficult, especially after surgery. At Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, we make sure it's as efficient as possible. As one of the highest-rated Medicare facilities in San Diego, we offer a variety of services to meet your needs. From subacute care to general physical therapy, we'll help create a plan to get you back to where you want to be. If your doctor recommends skilled nursing as your next step, come visit us and see how our skilled care has what you need to get back on your feet. For more information, please visit our website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder. And today we've got an awesome show. So, Dr. Emder, I'll hand it over to you, and you can introduce our guest.
It's a great pleasure to introduce one of my colleagues at Alvarado Hospital, Dr. Woody Zeidman, who is board certified in psychiatry, practices in La Mesa at the Psych Centers of San Diego. He did his undergraduate training at Bard College in New York, so it kind of gives him an all-round down-home American baseline training. Then he has a master's in pharmacology and his medical degree from the New York College of Medicine. He did his internship and psychiatric training here at UCSD, and again is now in private practice. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, yeah, so my introductory remarks, we're also talking about ADHD, and it's not just a disease of children, but 4.4% of adults have this problem. So my first question is, like, what is ADHD exactly?
Well, ADHD is a very interesting condition. It was actually first described in 1854 in a short story about a boy named Fidgety Phil.
Fidgety Phil.
Fidgety Phil. Since then, it's been called attention deficit disorder. It's been called minimal brain dysfunction. It's been called hyperkinetic disorder. But nowadays, it's called officially attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Okay.
But it has three types, one of which is predominantly inattentive, means it's not hyperactive. Secondly, is predominantly hyperactive. And lastly, and probably the most common, is combined, where people have both inattention and hyperactivity.
So that's the difference between ADD and ADHD?
Simply a matter of time. When you get the diagnosis, if you got it before 1994, it was ADD. If you get it after 94, it's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder,
or
without hyperactivity.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's fascinating. Okay, I didn't realize that.
It's very important because a lot of people say, well, I have this one, I don't have that one.
But the truth is, I know, it's confusing.
It is.
I get that all the time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, next question is, what is it? Basically, it's a series of symptoms. One of the most common is people tend to make careless mistakes. They meant to write a 4, they wrote a 5. They added 3 plus 2, they know how to add, but they came out with 4. Secondly, they have trouble with attention, trouble keeping their mind on a task. Next, they have trouble listening. Particularly if people keep talking. They hear what they're saying, but they sort of lose what's really going on.
Tuning out.
I just raised my hand here. Uh-oh.
They tend to not follow through with things. They tend to not be organized. They have trouble either keeping their schedule on time or keeping their desk in order or keeping their things get messy.
Mm. I have a lot of these problems, but it's more due to laziness, I think.
They tend to not do things that require mental effort. So, for example, they don't read a lot. They tend to lose things, can't find their key. They tend to get distracted. They start to do something, something else comes up, they go do something else. They tend to be forgetful. Meant to do it, just forgot. They tend to fidget. Now, the first part I gave was the inattentive part. Second part is hyperactivity. They tend to fidget. They play with their hands or their feet. They have trouble sitting. They get up, they go back, they sit down, they get up, they go back. It's hard to sit still. I've had people who said they can't even watch a movie because they can't sit still.
No, I'm sure there's all sorts of, you know, degrees of these symptoms, because a lot of what you're saying, I'm thinking, well, I do that.
I'm thinking the same thing. I'm now scared.
Yeah. So
in order to have this condition, you needed to have 6.
Oh, good.
Different. So just one or two doesn't mean it. If you have 6 of them, then
thank God, I only had 5.
Only
I only had 5 of the list, man. I'm good to go.
All right. They also tend to have trouble being quiet. So particularly adults learn to be quiet. But as children, their mother used to yell at them all the time and say, be quiet, you're making too much noise.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be on the go all the time, have to be doing something. What I ask them is, can you just sit and veg out? And they all say, no, I can't do that. I got to be busy. They tend to get into trouble for talking too much, like maybe I'm doing now. They blurt things out, and then they think, oh, I should never have said that. But it's too late. It's already out. They have trouble waiting their turn. I've known people who, in a line in the store, couldn't wait. They literally left their cart and walked off. They tend to interrupt. People are talking, and they just want to say what they want to say. So those are the symptoms. If you have 6 of each of those, then you have that condition.
Okay. When should a mother or father, you know, have their child tested?
Well, I think that most kids The teachers see it right away. Teachers are very aware of it because you see it all the time. But I think mothers, after a kid is six, if he's still having symptoms like that, yes, I think it needs to be looked into. Because kids are hyperactive normally, but it's a question of whether it's beyond normal.
Okay.
Are some of these things, I can imagine, they would fit into different types of categories. Do they ever get misdiagnosed?
Oh, yes. Very often, particularly in adults. But yes, I have seen people diagnosed as bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. I've seen people diagnosed for all sorts of things. Depression, because sometimes you get very depressed when you're not functioning at the level that you could be or should be or know you want to be functioning at. Mm-hmm. Adult ADHD people, for example, very intelligent, but they're not doing what they should be doing or think they should be doing, and therefore they get very depressed about it.
You know, as you mentioned, being able to function at the level that you're wanting to function, that reminds me of something like autism. I mean, because you've got some people that can function at very high levels, but kind
are
of
still
the world
autistic.
Around them is a little, yeah, it's just not up to speed for them. So do those kind of go hand in hand at times? Or
autism and ADHD are totally separate things.
Oh, okay.
But yes, they both have trouble functioning. With some autistic people, they don't know how much better they could be. With some ADHD people, they don't know how much better. They think, oh, this is just me. But sometimes they do see the difference because their friends or the people they're involved with ADHD are doing better, and they say, I'm just as smart as he is.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, I was reading some professions do well with ADHD, and supposedly physicians, can have this disease and still be functioning. Why? Because you got to be doing a lot of different things at one time.
That makes sense. You are all over the place. I'm not saying you've got it. I'm just saying you are all over the place, and you're good at what you do.
Well, I've never had that diagnosis.
Right. I'm not saying that's what I'm saying.
I'm really scared after this.
I'm not throwing that at you, but that begs the question, really, what causes it?
Okay. Good question. Probably genetics is a big, big factor. Mm. We do know that it's certainly higher in the siblings and parents of diagnosed kids. Many years ago, I was at a conference and some big professor came in from Emory University in Atlanta to talk about ADHD. And his first question to us was, where do you get ADHD from? I knew right away. I raised my hand and I said, well, I know when I diagnose children with this condition, I go through the symptoms. The parents look at me and they say, I have those same symptoms. So I know you catch it from your children. There's no doubt it's higher in relatives. It's higher in fact, I did a study between a biological relatives and adopted relatives, much stronger in biological relatives, much stronger in identical monozygotic twins than in fraternal twins. So there's no doubt that it's an inherited characteristic, and probably 95% of people who have it have some genetic component that goes with it.
Interesting.
So definitely genetically involved.
Okay. But are there other attributes to it? Like when I was doing a little bit of research last night. Actually, CNN just posted this article from the Mayo Clinic saying that Kraft macaroni and cheese has now changed their formula to remove yellow dye number five, I think, because that's how they usually color the macaroni and cheese. It is like neon yellow if you've had macaroni and cheese. But especially the character ones like the SpongeBob and the holiday flavor. So they're introducing spices that can do the same sort of thing with the coloring. And this came because that's how they do it in Europe. Europe said that if any food has yellow dye number five, they have to announce it because it is found to cause attention deficit for children. So that's what they're trying to do here is prevent that from happening. So that kind of begs the question, can you get it from outside sources?
Almost never.
Oh,
the truth of it is, yes, there are.
We love you, Kendra, with that.
There are a few.
Thank you. This came from the Mayo Clinic.
Some people do get it from, from some brain injury or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the truth of it is that there's no evidence that anything you eat affects it. There's no evidence that your diet affects it. Who was it? Dr. Feingold, who's an allergist, did a big study on the Feingold diet, which he invented. And
there you go.
There's no evidence.
I'm gonna try
that. I love that.
No evidence that it works. No evidence that it does anything. No evidence. There was a big thing about whether you eat too much cheese, whether you eat too much fatty foods, whether you eat too much sweets. No evidence that that does anything. Now, it is true that you have a lot of sugar or a lot of chocolate. It boosts your energy level, mm-hmm. but not necessarily hyperactivity per se.
It could maybe increase the effects of what happens. Like kids are bouncing off the walls
it is
even
true,
more.
Yes, right on. Certain stimulants can certainly do that. Mm-hmm. Even the great Linus Pauling used to talk about megavitamins. Doesn't touch ADHD. No evidence that it does that. So there's no evidence that any of those diet kind of things do much. But yes, if you take too much coffee, for example, it's a stimulant that picks you up, or too much mm-hmm. caffeine, or some people do energy drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it can pick you up in that way, but not directly ADHD as the diagnosis condition.
Got it. Okay.
Well, I think next segment, should we talk about treatment?
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot. We've got a lot to talk about still.
Okay.
So, audience out there, stay right with us. We will be right back with more information on ADHD.
When it comes to treatment of heart disease, there are many choices, but there's no better choice than Alvarado Hospital, right here, close to home. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist with Alvarado Hospital. I am proud that our specialists bring a level of knowledge, skill, and technology that have greatly improved the lives of those in our community for the past 40 years. For more information about our cardiovascular and stroke services, please visit alvaradohospital.com or call 1-800-ALVARADO.
Alvarado is proud to be part of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
The hospital is a place for healing, but what if you're not ready to go home? If your doctor's recommending skilled nursing for extended care, Villa Las Palmas is your next step. From subacute needs to physical and occupational therapy, we handle the highest level of care outside the hospital. With our around-the-clock doctor coverage, you know you're getting the best care possible with a plan to get you stable and back home. Ask your doctor about Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center and let us help you get back to health. For more information, please visit our website, villalaspalmascares.com.
Hello, everybody. We're on the air with Dr. Woody Zeidman, who's board certified in psychiatry, practicing in the East County in La Mesa at Alvarado Hospital, and in his clinic, the Psych Centers of San Diego. And my question is, do you treat all ages, or do you specialize in one group?
Well, I don't treat anybody under the age of 12 because I'm not a child psychiatrist. So mm-hmm. I treat adolescents and I treat adults. Mm-hmm. If children come to me, I will refer them to a child psychiatrist who specializes in that kind of thing.
So when you think of ADHD, you typically think that this is something for the younger population. But if you're working with this, I would say that it's not just the case, correct?
Clearly not the case. There's known to be probably 10 million adults in the United States who have ADHD, very few of whom have ever been treated.
Oh, really? Like it got missed because they were just in a generation that wasn't a popular thing?
Exactly right. You're right on.
They just got monster again.
And it's very important because it changes their lives a lot. ADHD can have a big consequence to a lot of people.
Knowing about it, being able to handle it different, or
just how you deal with things.
Okay.
For example, we know in adults with ADHD, they are twice as likely to have been arrested. They are twice as likely to have been divorced.
Oh, wow.
They are more likely to have received a speeding ticket in the last year. They are more likely to be addicted to alcohol, also to tobacco. They are more likely to not use any kind of birth control. And as a result, they are four times more likely to contact a sexually transmitted disease. Three times more likely to be unemployed at this time. Twice as likely to have trouble keeping friends. 47% more likely to have trouble paying bills. So it causes serious problems for adults.
Wow. It sounds almost like there's a side of recklessness to it.
Well, there is, because you're right. One of the problems is inattention. And if you don't pay attention to things, you're going to have more injuries. You're going to have more automobile accidents, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there absolutely is an inattentive part of that that causes injuries.
Well, can you have a normal, fulfilling life and still have this disease?
Well, the answer is it's difficult. Can it be done? Sometimes. But not as normal, not as fulfilling as it would otherwise be. Yesterday, I read a very interesting article about an attorney who at 66 comes to realize, because his wife says to him, you know, I think you've got this. He's got ADHD. And now he's finding that he's taking his medicine for it. And lo and behold, his practice is building. He's 66, and suddenly his practice is growing, and he's becoming like all his friends. Was he bright? Was he sure? Yeah, he went to college, and he went to law school, and he did well. But it was hard, and he said he worked harder than all the other people in his law school, for example, to just pass.
So that kind of begs the question. You had talked about earlier diagnosing it and saying you had to have so many of the symptoms, but is there an additional test you can take to kind of finalize the fact that you've got it or you don't?
There's no specific test except for asking the questions that fit the diagnosis.
Okay.
So if you have six of group A, then you have inattentive type. If you have six of group B, then you have hyperactivity. If you have six of both, then you have the combined, which is the most common type.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So the answer is you just ask yourself the questions. And if you have those problems that we talked about the last section, carelessness or inattention or not listening or not following through or not being neat or organized and those kinds of things. So the guys, for example, who have a messy desk or a sloppy...
I couldn't find my keys this morning. I had to get on my backup set. Luckily, I could find them.
That might be old age, Dr. Amder.
Exactly. And it's amazing how many ADHD people can't find
their keys. You think that's funny? I'm not laughing.
Or how many forget to pay their taxes or to pay a bill. They knew they went to do it. They planned to do it. They just forgot. Or they procrastinate is another common thing. Just mean to do it. Just sort of put it off.
Wow.
So, yes, I think...
I have a secret for the ADHD, young men out there. Mm. Marry someone who's organized.
That's probably the result of a divorce because then they'll go crazy. I mean, I can only imagine. So what do we do about this?
But it is common. What you say about divorce is very common, that it is, in fact, the spouse that says, hey, you know, you've got this condition or there's something going on or you should have that looked into. I see that a lot where the people don't recognize it, but their spouse does or their very significant other does.
And so is that why then they come to you and say, you know, can we look into this a little bit more?
Right on. That's exactly what happens. I cannot tell you how many people come to me saying, you know, I was advised or somebody told me or, you know, they think or my wife thinks or my kids think or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very common.
So which raises the question, the treatment. And there's a big concern, in the past we were using medications like Ritalin. And the question is, you know, are we over-treating our children? And, are there other treatments? And is Ritalin the right choice?
A very good question. And the answer is yes. Ritalin or stimulants are still the most common and clearly the most effective. There's no doubt that they work. But they do cause some troubles, and so there are lots of other options.
How exactly does Ritalin work?
We think that Ritalin stimulates what's called the dopamine or the norepinephrine systems.
That's the happy drug, right? Like the happiness.
I don't know about that. I mean,
no,
that's
dopamine
like,
in your head, isn't that what's...
There are many many neurotransmitters in our brain.
Okay.
Dopamine being one of them, serotonin being another, norepinephrine being another. There are a whole bunch of things. And they all seem to play certain roles. And so dopamine is not just the happy drug.
Okay.
In fact, one of the problems with some of the stimulants like Ritalin is you take it and you get up. But then as it wears off, you get down. And some people get really withdrawal effects where they feel terrible from it. Mm. So while the stimulants are very effective, they need to be handled very carefully. And some people who take stimulants just on their own, or some kids who take it for school, for example, there are college kids who take it for their exams and so forth.
Yeah, or
get
sports
into terrible
even,
trouble.
Right?
Terrible. Very interesting sports because many years ago, my professor at UCSD was the psychiatrist for the San Diego Chargers.
Mm.
And he wrote a book called The Nightmare Season. And in his book, he talked about the fact that the Chargers were all doing stimulants because they felt better when they did it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was called The Nightmare Season because they did terrible. They felt good. They thought they were doing good. They knew they could do good, but they didn't do good because they weren't doing it properly. And that was part of the problem.
Now, with that said, football is one of those contact sports, I think, where you just go for it and you hit and, you know, there is obviously technique to it. But what about sports like golf? Because I know golfers that had actually utilized Ritalin and, you know, it's a very focused type
Again,
sport.
Again, if you have ADHD, you're absolutely right. You do better with sports. I have patients who, for example, play tennis and they can watch what their opponent is about to do. They can pay attention to their opponent, and they have a split-second advantage over which way the ball is going to be
hit.
Golf, it's true. You need to pay attention. You need to keep focused. The problem is, if you don't have ADHD, then the drugs sort of screw things up. They make it worse in many ways. So, yes, if you have it, they work. If you don't have it, you're asking for trouble.
What are other medications besides Ritalin for ADHD?
There are a whole bunch. There's one called Strattera that's very interesting, or atomoxetine. The reason that's interesting is it was the first drug ever approved for the treatment of adults in ADHD.
Wow.
Now, Ritalin and so forth have been used, but they were never officially approved. Now there are several others that have come along, but the Strattera people did it because, well, for several reasons. Number one, they had the money to do it. Strattera was put out by Eli Lilly, and their plan was to replace what was then the biggest selling psychiatric drug in the world called Prozac. And Prozac was going to become generic, and they were losing billions of dollars if they didn't do something. So they looked for something to replace it, and they found Strattera. But Strattera fit the niche for ADHD, so it's never been used for anything else.
And did you say just for adults?
It was used for adults and children. So it's been approved for both, but it was the first ever to be approved for adults.
No, it's not a stimulant, is it?
Correct. It's not officially a stimulant. It's not addicting. It's not habit-forming. You can just stop it with no problem at all. No real withdrawal effect. So it's really good that way.
What does it do then?
It does increase the effect of your norepinephrine. Or noradrenaline, which is one of the chemicals in our brain, our neurotransmitter.
That's another neurotransmitter.
It's not a neurotransmitter by itself, but it increases the neurotransmitter of norepinephrine, which is a neurotransmitter.
Parts
of the brain. So it just increases. It doesn't increase the norepinephrine. It increases the effectiveness of norepinephrine.
Wow.
Which is very interesting.
And when you have higher levels of norepinephrine in your brain, what are the positive side effects of that?
Well, the positive side effects, again, are that people can concentrate better and function better and think better. There are antidepressants that do the same thing, and so it may help depression as well. But Strattera has never been approved for depression, and I want to say that it's an antidepressant. I don't want to give the wrong impression. Will it do that? Maybe. But it's never been approved for that. That's not its purpose.
So how do you differentiate what you're going to prescribe to somebody?
Good question.
That's a very interesting question, and it depends.
I'm full of them.
It depends. First of all, I explain, just as I explained to you, the different options, what the side effects are, what the risks are, what the benefits are, and I usually let the person decide. People, I think, do better if they have a choice in what they think would be best for them. So I tell them the risks, I tell them the benefits, I tell them the options. There are several other options, and usually they decide. For example, Wellbutrin has been shown, it's an antidepressant, been shown to be a great drug for ADHD, but it's not officially approved. It's an antidepressant drug. So some people who are depressed will say, oh yeah, okay, I'll try that one. That's
okay.
A good one.
So maybe some people have more symptoms in one category than others, and some
or
drugs
they have
can kind
two
of focus
sets
on that.
There's no reason to say if you have ADHD, you can't have depression, or if you have depression, you can't have ADHD. So, yes, there are some people that have both.
Do you ever use Strattera and Wellbutrin?
I think before you answer that, we need to go to break.
Oh, this is just so interesting.
I know. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
So the audience out there, stay with us, and we'll get Dr. Emder's question answered in just a minute.
When Joe was in his last days, I was frightened of not having the right help at the right moment. So I set out to find a hospice I could call at any time, day or night. Only VITAS provided telecare, the 24-hour access we needed.
Mom's illness was overwhelming toward the end, and I wanted a hospice that had everything and everyone we needed. We discovered only VITAS employs more physicians who specialize in hospice care than anyone nationally. That made Mom and us feel better.
When Carol was dying, I promised she could stay at home and have the very best care. I did my research. Only VITAS had the experience to take care of the love of my life.
Call VITAS Innovative Hospice Care toll-free at 877-647-1124 for a free hospice evaluation. That's 877-647-1124. Or visit VITAS.com for more information.
Transition is always difficult, especially after surgery. At Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, we make sure it's as efficient as possible. As one of the highest-rated Medicare facilities in San Diego, we offer a variety of services to meet your needs. From subacute care to general physical therapy, we'll help create a plan to get you back to where you want to be. If your doctor recommends skilled nursing as your next step, come visit us and see how our skilled care has what you need to get back on your feet. For more information, please visit our website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. Today, we're talking about ADHD, particularly in adults and right. how to treat it. So, Dr. Emder, go ahead. I know ended the last segment with your question.
With a question, and that is, you mentioned Wellbutrin, which is a medication for an antidepressant. So my question is, do you ever treat patients with both Strattera and Wellbutrin, or are there other combination therapies that are out there?
The answer is yes and no. Nice, simple question, nice, simple answer.
Good.
I try to use one thing at a time. I try not to combine more than one if I can avoid it.
Nice.
Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you need this for that, and this and that for this. You need to do other things. So the answer is yes, sometimes I do combine. I do have patients who are on antidepressants as well as on ADHD medicines. I do have patients who are on bipolar medicines as well as ADHD medicines. But I try not to do that if I can avoid it. I try to find one medicine that fits it all when you can.
Great. What about how not to treat this disease?
Ah, let's talk about that, because there are a lot of possibilities out there that people have been using for years and years and years and have been unsupported totally by any results. For example, diets. There are lots of people who say, well, if you just eat this or you don't eat that, you'll be fine. No evidence that what you eat affects your benefit from ADHD or makes it worse or better. Vitamins, for example, is another thing that people have talked about. You just eat better, you'll have more vitamins and you'll be okay. And doesn't seem to do anything for ADHD. Linus Pauling, great chemist, talked about megavitamins. And he talked about taking 10 times the normal recommended dose of vitamins.
That seems a little extreme.
Didn't do anything for ADHD. Hmm. There are a whole bunch of other substances that people have used. Melatonin, ginkgo biloba, valerian, GABA, passion fruits, so forth, lecithin. No evidence that it works. Many years ago, the big thing was the Feingold diet, where you had no food additives, for example. No evidence that it does anything for ADHD. Some people say, don't take milk, or don't take nuts, or don't take fish, or don't take wheat, or go on a fungus-free diet, like no cheeses, for example. No yeast was another one that was big, because that's a mold. No evidence that it had anything to do with ADHD. There were people who thought that you could fix it with eye movements. So you went to optometric training. No evidence. People who thought it was an inner ear problem, like motion sickness is. Mm. No. So you take, in those days, they took motion sickness medicines. Didn't do anything. Or sound was another one. People thought, well, you can't hear right, because it's really because you're not listening, not because you can't hear. But that was another one. People used to do an auditory integration. Doesn't work. Hypnotherapy was big for a while. Mm-hmm. Biofeedback was big for a while. No evidence that any of that worked.
So, say you do have a child that has ADHD. What can you do, or what would you recommend a parent doing to prevent them from getting to the extreme ADHD in an adult?
That's a very good question. I think the reason that's very good, because the answer is, what do you do for your kid to make him function at the level that he wants to function? Not only your kid, but you yourself.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is very interesting. There was a very interesting study that parents who treat themselves for their ADHD become better parents. They're more positive for their children. Mm-hmm. They're more pleasant for their children. They're better able to reward their children as opposed to criticizing their children. So one of the things is treat yourself as an adult because adults have it too, mm-hmm. and that helps. Secondly, medications are clearly the big answer.
Even for children, huh?
Even for children. Over the age of 12, there really is a big difference in medications. There's no doubt that they are much more effective. In fact, there was a very interesting study. Psychotherapy can sometimes be helpful, particularly behavioral therapy, where you teach people how to behave properly under certain circumstances. But the studies there, too, show it works, but it works much better if they're on medications.
Wow.
So psychotherapy could be helpful to understand what you're doing, to understand what's going on, to understand how you're reacting, to understand how to change your reactions. But medication seems to help even that. Mm. You do better. Otherwise, it's not quite as effective as it would be otherwise.
Well, according to the CDC, also published in this article in the UT Health, for help your child discover a talent, 5 behavioral therapies. Number 1, create a routine for them. You know, avoid distractions when they're doing their homework. Turn off the TV, radio, computer so they can concentrate on what they're doing. Limit their choices. Offer like maybe 2 things instead of 3 or 4 things. And use goals and reward to help focus the child and help them discover their own talent by doing things that they're successful at.
Let me make a couple of suggestions on the things you said. Number 1, the thing you said about using goals or rewards is very important. Problem with ADHD is people get into trouble. They do things wrong. They get criticized. They get scolded. They get punished. Very important to give them rewards when they do things right.
Wow.
Very, very important. I saw a guy yesterday. He was obese. He was 350 pounds as a kid. And his parents put him on a diet. Well, he lost a few pounds. And his parents said, "Hey, that's terrific. You're doing great." He's now lost 50 pounds, and they're excited about him because they rewarded him. They made a big deal over a few pounds, and now they're making him. He's doing so well. He's so good, and he's just eating that all up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think rewards are very important for children, and therefore that kind of behavioral therapy can be very, very helpful, especially
great.
For children, mm-hmm. also for adults, because it's true that adults, they're having trouble with their boss. They're having trouble with their spouse. They're not listening to their friends because they're too busy thinking of things in their head. And so it can be very, very helpful if you can reward your spouse for how much better he's doing or she's doing.
Mm-hmm. What about limiting the choices? Dr. Emder just mentioned that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I think that I tell parents when they have kids that I'm seeing, teenagers or whatever, that when you're in the second grade or the first grade, your teacher gives you 5 minutes worth of homework, and usually mom sits down and shows the kid how to do homework. And then they learn, and mom doesn't have to do it anymore. ADHD kids never learn because they're too busy procrastinating or thinking of other things. When they're on their medicines or when they're being treated properly, really good to sit with them for a while and show them how to do it. Once they do it, you can back off because teenagers don't like it if mom is sitting there over their shoulder. But you start how to do it, how not to procrastinate, how to get started right away. And then as they do better, you can back off with lots of encouragement. So, yes, I think it's very important to limit choices at first, to limit options. ADHD kids are prone, not only kids but adults, to video games. They can play video games for hours and hours. Why? Because video games change every few seconds. You don't have to have attention for video games because they're always changing. Every few seconds, there's a new one. So they watch it for hours and hours. It's very important to limit that until they're caught up on their homework or they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Right, because they very easily get overstimulated.
So but then it could be a reward when they've done what they're supposed to do. But otherwise, you're right, they get too involved with something that is not beneficial as it needs to be for them.
Mm. Now, what can a parent do to prevent a child from using ADHD as a crutch, just kind of assuming, or does that happen? Assuming, well, I can't pass this test because I have ADHD and just falling into that category.
Yeah, I think you're right. There are kids who use anything as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, because ADHD is so well treated, or can be so well treated, they can do better and better and don't have to use it as a crutch because they can improve and things get better and their life gets better and their self-esteem gets better. Mm. And that's very important for kids' self-esteem.
You know, a lot of this is often picked up in schools, and the schools, I think, are required in some states by law to test for this. So I think if you have a child that you suspect is ADHD, I think a good place to start is with these school systems and have them test the child. And then and the teachers, you know, I think love this because they have, you know, behavioral training that they can use to focus their energy and prevent it from being overstimulated and concentrating.
So is that kind of the future that we're seeing for ADHD?
Well, I think that the future for ADHD is several things. Number one is we know that there are probably 10 million adults who have ADHD, and probably 1 million of those, maybe 1.5 million, are being treated. Mm-hmm. So most people are not. So the first thing is what you're doing right now, letting people know about it so that they can be aware. They can see that, oh, I have those symptoms, and therefore they can do something about it. Because the treatments for ADHD are wonderful. It's one of the best treatments we have in all of medicine in terms of the statistics of how well people do when they're properly treated. So the first thing is to be aware and then be treated for it. And then things get better and better. And your life gets better and better. And as it gets better and better, then your functioning and your self-esteem, and when your self-esteem gets better, your own desire to do better grows. Mm-hmm. And so you have your own desire to do better and better, and that helps a lot. And so really good possibilities for the future.
And I think it's important to recognize that, you know, it's not the end of the world. This is a disease that can be recognized and treated. And, you know, there's great treatments, and with behavioral modification, you know, meet your expectations and excel and have a wonderful life.
Well, excel is a very interesting point. There are stories, reports, that some of our great explorers have ADHD.
Is that right?
There are thoughts of Christopher Columbus.
Yeah.
Couldn't sit still. He just had to go. There are reports that the Indians in the very end of South America have a higher percentage of ADHD because they're the ones who kept coming down America because they just kept moving.
Yeah.
There are reports that some of our great leaders have ADHD. In fact, I've been told by his psychiatrist, and I've been told that he has approved to be known that the man who founded JetBlue, which is certainly one of our more successful airlines,
no kidding,
has ADHD.
Wow.
And I've been told that he lets everybody know that. He's not afraid of sharing that, so I can share that with you.
So, I mean, that's a great way to end our show. That, you know,
yeah, absolutely. There is light at the end of the tunnel.
You own JetBlue at some point in your life.
Well, that's awesome. So I guess we've run out of time for today, but what a great show.
Yeah.
I really appreciate all that you've given us for this information.
And hope.
Mm-hmm. And I thank you for the option of
being here. And if we have people out there that have more questions, is there a way they can get a hold of you?
Sure. They can certainly call my office, Dr. Zeidman. My office number, if they need, is 619-667-3380. 619-667-3380. And my secretary will be happy to make appointments for anybody who needs it or whatever else needs to be done.
Thanks, Dr. Zeidman. We appreciate that. And you'll also find our information on Facebook. So we'll give you Dr. Zeidman's contact information. And if you've got any questions, feel free to write us on Facebook, Aging Redefined Radio. And Dr. Emder, they can get a hold of you.
I'm DrLarryEmder.com. And if you want to see pictures from my trip to New York City, me walking to a Prada store, it's hashtag DrLarryEmder.
Oh, your funny Instagram. All right. Well, thanks so much for tuning in to us today, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone.